Good afternoon and welcome to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community. Your host is Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community. This hour is designed to inspire, inform, and to help you live better with cancer. Now, here's your host, Kim Tibaldo.
Welcome to Frankly Speaking About Cancer, an internet radio show that focuses on informing and inspiring people to live well with cancer. I'm your host, Kim Tibaldo, CEO of the Cancer Support Community. The Wellness Community and Gilda's Club have united to become the Cancer Support Community, one of the largest providers of cancer support in the United States and around the world. Our services are offered at more than 100 locations worldwide and online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. The impact of a cancer diagnosis is felt on every level, a physical level, financial level, and emotional level. And while the treatment received from an oncologist helps to heal and treat cancer at the physical level, there's also great importance in healing emotionally throughout the cancer journey. Finding social and emotional support is at the core of the Cancer Support Community's mission and something we think is an incredibly crucial part of the cancer experience. We've talked a lot about various types of support, where to find it, how to provide it, but on this episode, we're going to talk about how to create it for yourself through meditation and mindfulness and find joy despite facing the harsh realities of cancer. Joining us today to talk about mindfulness and finding joy is Julia Wick. Julia is a licensed clinical mental health counselor and co-creator of the Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy campaign. Julia provides education, supportive counseling, and experiential practice to patients and caregivers to help them address emotional and psychosocial issues. Julia began working with cancer survivors and patients after her mother passed away from breast cancer in 2001. Thank you for being with us today, Julia.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. Well, we're going to get started and jump right in. Julia, I want to start today by having you share your journey. Can you tell us what led you to beginning the Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy initiative?
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned, I'm a psychotherapist, and I have been for many years. And I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2006, and this was 5 years after losing my mother to breast cancer in 2001, which you mentioned. And so, Kim, this had a profound impact on me. And then I decided to shift my focus and work with people facing cancer. So I now work in an outpatient oncology clinic in my home state of Vermont. And so over the years, I began to see a need and how people were benefiting from learning specific strategies and tangible tools that helped them cope and in many ways grew from their experience. So I started developing a self-care program to bring this to a wider audience. And meanwhile, my friend and colleague, Dr. Ted James, he's a surgical oncologist. He was noticing often dramatic differences in how his patients were experiencing a diagnosis and how it affected their lives. So one person with a great prognosis and yet the shadow of their diagnosis would take away their well-being, and another patient with even perhaps an advanced disease or uncertain future, they were living life to the fullest. So we were on parallel tracks. He was thinking about the idea of Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy, and I was developing my self-care program, so we were supporting each other, and then one day we said, let's join forces, and so from there we formed Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy.
So tell us what that is, Julia. Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy. What is that?
Yeah, so both Dr. James and I feel passionately. We feel really strongly about this mission, and our goal, Kim, is to help people find balance, reconnect with joy, and maintain joy on the cancer journey, and of course, a difficult thing to do for many people. We offer tools and strategies for self-care, really so that people can go through cancer walking the path a little bit easier. And we want to reach as many people as we can with the message that cancer doesn't have to define their experience, and joy doesn't have to be put on hold, that well-being is always possible. So really our main goal is that people feel connected and less alone, and that they're inspired to live a more joyful life.
And you're saying that people can live well and live with joy even through a cancer experience?
Absolutely. Yep. And this is what we've seen. Yes.
So tell us, how exactly, Julia, does this initiative help people impacted by cancer? What resources, you know, does it provide? Drill down for us.
Well, yeah, so we know that stress, worry, uncertainty, these can persist long after the initial diagnosis and treatment is over, and that's all normal. But sometimes the distress caused by worrying about the cancer can actually have more of an impact than the cancer itself could ever have. So, Kim, we want to help people access joy and feel empowered on the journey rather than depleted by the stress of it. And, you know, we see joy as a combination of two things, two-pronged, if you will. So on the one side is joy as an active practice. And, you know, I'll be talking more about this as we go along here. But that is paying attention and bringing it into your experience, so bringing joy. And that can be even small moments of joy. So it's choosing the joyful moments. So, and then on the other side is joy as a natural byproduct of living an intentional life with a sense of purpose and compassion. And I will say compassion is really key when you're going through the cancer experience. So we found that when people have something positive they can focus on to put their energy toward, this helps them gain a sense of control in an otherwise uncontrollable situation. And so much of the cancer experience is out of one's control. That's a big, big stressor. So when they can gain a sense of control, then anxiety and stress goes down. And so you asked about resources, Kim. So we have a website, and we offer practical resources, including our up-and-running blog, and we call it Joy Tips. And that has information from us, guest blog posts from other professionals. But most importantly, we highlight personal stories of people impacted by cancer. So that's going to be the main focus of our blog going forward. And we're also going to have videos, meditations. I hope to do a podcast, and we'll have ebooks. And Kim, Dr. James and I also do talks and workshops, and we really love doing that. So, yeah, that's what we offer.
And so is this something that people can access right now? It's something that people access today. Do they need to go through a course or a workshop or training, or is it simply available to anyone?
Yeah, it's available to anyone. We're up and running. We are at don'tletcancer.com. And we do have some, you know, blog posts already up there, and people can access that. Haven't gotten meditations up there yet, but I'm planning to. So, absolutely. And we have a Facebook page as well. Yes, people can access that now.
Julia, just take a minute for those who might not know or really understand, just take a minute to talk about what meditation is.
Yeah, so meditation is, there are many ways that one can practice meditation. I know you mentioned mindfulness in the beginning, and actually mindfulness has been found to be very effective for people with cancer. And one can meditate in many ways, and so with mindfulness, it is really about present moment awareness. Paying attention in the moment. Actually, Jon Kabat-Zinn, you and probably your listeners are aware of Jon Kabat-Zinn, I would imagine. He's the founder of the Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction Program. And I share him here because this has been shown to benefit cancer patients. And his definition, Kim, is awareness that arises through paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. So this is really key because it is being with things as they are in the present moment. And so we can talk more about mindfulness now or as we go along, but mindfulness is about present moment awareness, being awake and aware. And what that does, Kim, it's really powerful because it helps relieve the worry and anxiety that comes, and anxiety is probably the biggest emotional stressor that people have going through cancer. So when we are anywhere but here, anywhere but in the present moment, worry and anxiety can take hold. That sort of what if. You may have heard that depression is living in the past and anxiety is living in the future. When we can be here in the present moment, it actually gives us a respite from the worry. So mindfulness meditation is probably the biggest, you know, thing I can talk about, but many other ways to meditate, also many other ways to practice mindfulness, simply bringing your awareness to what you're doing right here, right now, and that can alleviate a lot of stress for people.
Julia, for some of our listeners, it might seem counterintuitive, this idea of maintaining joy through cancer. You know, people think, oh my gosh, cancer is so devastating. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me. It's a, you know, this lady's talking about joy, you know, and in cancer, and I'm getting chemo and I'm getting surgery. And you know, how do we convince folks that it is possible to find joy through cancer?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, that's a great question. And I am not here to say, la, 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 joy, just turn your attention to joy. I am here to say, turn your attention toward yourself, toward what you need. You know, if you're newly diagnosed, really focus on assembling your team of support, going one step at a time. These things are really important. Paying attention to your emotions. In the beginning, when you were introducing this show, you were talking about the emotional impact. It's huge, and it can feel like an emotional roller coaster for people. And so joy may seem elusive, right? It may seem really, really far away. Begin to focus on your needs and self-care and being present for yourself. And when you can be present for yourself and really pay attention. And I mentioned compassion before. You know, compassion can reduce your suffering. And so these are all steps toward joy. And I will also say, joy doesn't have to be the big, you know, all-encompassing thing. It can be the small, tiny moment of just feeling a shift away from the angst and feeling a little bit of lightness or a little bit of brightness. It might be seeing your baby smile or the sun shining on your face in that moment of joy. And so it's really about paying attention to your self-care and then noticing the moments of joy. I think that's the key piece. And letting one step lead to the next. Toward joy. So, yeah, I hear you. And I can imagine people are saying, no way. It is possible. Yes, it is. I'm here to say that it is possible.
Julia, we've got about a minute until our first break here, but what has the reaction been so far to this initiative? What are you hearing?
Yeah, so Kim, we are so excited about this initiative and the response. We started to receive really great feedback. What we've seen already this year is so encouraging, you know, even for an early program like ours. So we have a lot of interest nationally from people in the field. In fact, one person, you'll see that on our blog. We've gotten great feedback from our talks, really positive comments from our audience, both at the time of our workshop and later. And we're just really excited about it. We want to create a thriving community where people can come and feel supported and welcomed, connected with others and inspired with the message that you are not alone and joy is always possible. And, you know, as long as we're doing that, we'll keep going. And so far, so good. We've gotten great feedback. We're very, very happy about it.
Fantastic. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. We're talking with Julia Wick, who's a mental health counselor and co-creator of a new initiative called Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy. We've got a lot to discuss with Julia, and we're really going to dig in on this idea of mindfulness, of meditation, and how you can become a part of this initiative and find ways to not let cancer steal your joy. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Effective cancer treatment requires more than just medication or surgery. For the country's 12 million cancer survivors and their loved ones, the social and emotional challenges of adapting to life with cancer are ongoing. How to handle coworkers' questions, how to get comfortable with new physical realities, how to reassure worried family members, or explain to friends your priorities have changed. The Cancer Support Community is ready to help by providing free counseling, education, and hope for survivors and their caregivers. Whether online or at over 100 locations around the world, the Cancer Support Community is ready to offer the support you need to live a better life with cancer. For more information on support groups, publications, nutrition, exercise programs, and more, call 1-888-793-9355 or visit us online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org. The Cancer Support Community, a global network of education and hope.
Cancer Support Community is proud to be a partner of Magnolia Meals at Home, a new pilot program that aims to help patients by providing nourishing meals to households affected by breast cancer so loved ones can spend more quality time together. This program is currently available in and around two pilot cities, Andover, Massachusetts, and Woodcliffe Lake, New Jersey. Participants will receive one delivery of meals every month for up to 6 months when enrolled in the program. Each delivery includes up to 7 meals designed to help meet the nutritional needs of people living with breast cancer and 10 meals for family members. This novel program is brought to you by the AZI Women's Oncology Program, Magnolia, Cancer Care, the Cancer Support Community, and Meals on Wheels Association of America. To find out if you or loved ones are eligible, visit online at www.magnoliamealsathome.com or call 617-733-5848.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
Welcome back to Frankly Speaking About Cancer. I'm your host, Kim Tibaldo. Today's show is sponsored in part by Bristol-Myers Squibb, NovoCure, and Taiho Oncology. We're joined today by Julia Wick, co-creator of the Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy initiative. Julia, let's start by talking about the stresses that can come along with a cancer diagnosis. What stresses do you hear from others most often?
Yeah, we can't talk about cancer without talking about stress, can we?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's a very, very stressful and disruptive experience. I was walking down the hall just last week with someone, a gentleman, and he turned to me and he said, well, it isn't normal land. So normalcy goes out the window, you know, the rug gets pulled out. So there are lots of stressors, logistical and practical issues. You know, you're entering a new world and many people are unfamiliar with the medical environment. And so, you know, all these medical appointments and understanding your diagnosis, that alone can be so overwhelming with medical jargon and trying to wrap your head around what's happening. And then balancing work and taking care of the family and child care. Financial issues, Kim, is a huge stressor and burden for many people, worrying, like, how am I going to pay the bills if I can't work? Side effects of treatment and hair loss is a big stressor for many people. Sleep issues can impact people's lives. Pain and fatigue, limitations, especially if going through treatment. You know, I can't do the same things I'm normally able to do. That's very, very hard for people. And the list goes on and on. It's really about a lack of control that comes with the diagnosis. And, you know, this leads to a sense of helplessness. And, you know, we call this cancer chaos. It's that whirlwind of pandemonium surrounding the diagnosis. It's really about having to rearrange your life for something you didn't choose. And that's really, really tough.
Yeah, and we hear folks talk about that loss of control, and also, I think, a loss of hope. You know, like you said, they're really derailed, right? You know, they had plans, and things get derailed. And I think also we hear a lot of times from folks a sense of isolation.
Absolutely. It's a huge and isolation in two ways. There's social isolation and emotional isolation. So the social isolation is that, you know, your life gets completely disrupted and turned around, and you're not in your routine. You're not seeing the people you normally see. And then emotional isolation, you can go within and not talk about your emotional experience and how it's feeling. So, isolation is huge. And that's why, you know, we were talking in the first segment, you know, our whole point is you are not alone. And I also want to really, say it is important to assemble your team, and that is family and friends and also your medical team who really wants to help. So, I agree with you.
And I think also, Julia, your support team, because, we've certainly heard some folks say, look, I have a great family, I have great friends, I have a great support system, but they just don't understand really what I'm going through, you know. And so connecting with, you know, support groups, with others who are going through the same thing, with professionals, folks like you, you know, professionals who can really, understand the experience in a different way. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that wholeheartedly, and it's so funny you bring that up, because just last week, kid you not, I sat with three people who, they were nearing the end of treatment, so the end of treatment was coming, and they were actually finding themselves feeling increasingly anxious and fearful and increasingly sad. And so their family members were saying, yay, you know, you're almost done treatment, this is great. And they were feeling like, oh my gosh, something's wrong with me, because they, as in my support system, they don't really understand what's happening. So they were feeling sad about leaving these, you know, their medical providers, the infusion nurses, the people they had actually grown very close to. And then it's a time that fear can creep in as well, fear and anxiety, because when you're in the midst of treatment, in the middle of treatment, you're doing something proactive, and this is very empowering and, you know, can feel, again, giving you that sense of control we talked about earlier. And so this is a time that can be very stressful for people. And so, yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Sometimes people who haven't been through it or who aren't going through it currently don't fully understand the full impact emotionally on somebody. So yes, agree.
I think that we've heard a lot about that post-treatment piece, right? Making that transition from patient to survivor. Like you said, folks say, yay, you know, you're done, you're cured, great. But that can be a very difficult transition, and you kind of lose that, like you said, you lose that safety net. We've heard folks say it feels like you're falling off a cliff, and you're still dealing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She said, I feel like I'm being pushed off a cliff. It's so true.
Exactly, right? Pushed right out the door. And patients say they're still dealing with so many both physical and emotional and psychological issues, but yet the safety net and the infrastructure's gone, right?
Yep, and then the support system sort of, you know, the meals stop coming, and then the people go back to their lives, of course. And so, yeah, you're sort of left, right, in this place of, well, what do I do now? So that can be a really tough time for people. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So, Julie, when we talk about those stresses, what are some of the common sort of emotional responses to those stresses, and how do you manage those responses?
Yeah, you know, it is such an emotional time. Lots of emotions surface, anywhere from, you know, diagnosis to well after treatment. People often feel like they're on a roller coaster, and that's sort of part of that cancer chaos I talked about. So sadness and grief, you know, some people feel like once they've been diagnosed with cancer, you know, my life as I knew it is over, at least for now. So grief is in there with change, depression, anxiety is very common, fear and worry, fear of recurrence can creep in. Anger is also very normal. Some people find themselves feeling angry. And, of course, that isolation that we talked about. And then also there's that sense of vulnerability. One person said to me recently, she said, I feel like I've lost my personhood. So there's a sense of vulnerability as well. And, you know, then as we talked about before, that sense of helplessness that can come with the loss of control, that's huge. And so, you know, to be emotional is to be human, right? So what I tell people is honor your emotions. It's all normal. It's not about containing or avoiding. It's about letting yourself feel whatever you feel. Emotions are fluid. You know, they flow in and they flow out. And when we're in the middle of emotional angst or upset, we forget that, right? We think that's all there is. It's never going to get better. So it's really important to let your emotions come and then let them flow in and release them. And one person said to me, and I thought this was poignant, she said, you can experience joy more completely when you've experienced the depths of sorrow and despair. So I just thought that was really poignant because it's true, you know, knowing that sorrow and despair, that's part of the cancer journey too. But you can let the storm come knowing it will pass. And so that's really important. Honor where you are on the emotional journey. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's that range of emotions. And I would imagine that some of those emotional responses that you talk about can get in the way of experiencing the joy, really, that we're talking about, right? Don't let cancer steal your joy. So how do people get in a place where they can start to remove those blocks, those barriers to the joy that they're trying to seek?
Yeah, so true, right? I mean, many things can keep us from experiencing joy. The stress that comes, you know, all the emotions. So when we're feeling like this, so you're right, how do we get from here to joy? So I guess, Kim, I would talk about three things. First, I would say, you know, ask yourself, what's blocking my path? So you want to identify what's getting in the way if you can and make a plan. So the good news is with stress, you can do something about it and take the reins back. And that's because stress is an internal response to what's happening. So it's how we interpret what's happening that causes the stress, not the event itself. And so when people really get that, that they can take charge of their self-care. They may not be able to control the cancer. You may not be able to control the cancer, but you can do something about your self-care, right? So that mm-hmm. can be very empowering for people and can help them begin to move forward. And the second thing I'd say, Kim, is I would ask people, what has gotten you through tough times in the past? So we forget that we've gone through difficulties in the past. We have inner strength and resilience. So you can tap into that inner strength and resilience, looking to how you coped in the past. And then what I also want to say here, Kim, and this is really important, and that is acceptance. So with this emotional roller coaster, it's very challenging. Fear creeps back in. Emotions come rolling back. Acceptance doesn't mean you have to like it. You know, who wants to accept they have a cancer diagnosis? No way, no how. Acceptance means you acknowledge what is. It means you're letting go of what you can't control. So I had a woman tell me not too long ago, she said, I finally looked at the fact that I have cancer, and I said, I'm here. I have to recognize this is happening. So she was resisting, and this actually helped her move forward, because what we resist persists. You know, so much of our emotional angst comes from resisting what's happening, so we can stay stuck in that cancer chaos. So when we can begin to accept where we are, then the emotional angst goes down, and then we can walk the journey forward a little bit easier, and that can then help us navigate those blocks, and the path forward becomes clearer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's important, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So, Julia, we're coming up on our next on our next break here, and we're going to get into in the next segment. I want to explain to folks I want to talk a little bit about meditation and about mindfulness. I some folks know what these things are, some folks don't. Maybe we can even do a little mini meditation, so we can maybe folks listening can kind of understand what that is a little bit and how to find that. And I also want to maybe talk about some resources, places where folks can find some of these solutions that we're talking about. I certainly want to talk a little bit about your initiative, Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy, where folks can find that. Obviously want to talk about some of the things that are happening at the cancer support community, but also let folks know about some of the other places where they can find the kind of solutions, the kind of path, that we're talking about, and find the kind of, answers, really, where they can explore some of these issues and find the ways to get those barriers out of the way, identify and process some of these issues that we're talking about. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. We are talking with Julia Wick. She's a licensed clinical mental health counselor. She's the co-creator of a great initiative called Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy. And we are talking about finding joy sort of with, through, and beyond cancer, and finding ways to really find and experience that joy through the cancer experience. We've got a lot more to talk about with Julia. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
People living with breast cancer often find it difficult to ask for help, and many of the people in their lives want to help, but don't know how. During National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Cancer Support Community is proud to support Meal Train, sponsored by Magnolia, which utilizes MealTrain.com, a free shared online calendar to streamline the process of giving and receiving meals for families coping with breast cancer. Help us reach our goal of 1,000 new breast cancer-specific meal trains this October. To learn more, visit mealtrain.com/MMT and enter the code MAGNOLIAB, or visit us at cancersupportcommunity.org.
Cancer, it's a lonely word. Terms I don't understand. Choices I never thought I'd have to make. But there is hope and help.
Support from cancer survivors.
Links to research and clinical trials.
Help with finances and access to care.
All behind you, a breakaway from cancer, created by Amgen to empower cancer patients.
The Cancer Support Community is proud to be a partner of Breakaway from Cancer.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
We're back with Frankly Speaking About Cancer. Today's show is sponsored in part by AstraZeneca, Lilly Oncology, and Insight Corporation. I'm your host, Kim Tibaldo. We're talking with Julia Wick. Julia is the co-creator of the Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy initiative. Julia, I want to focus this segment on the importance of meditation, but I want to start first by talking about mindfulness. What is mindfulness exactly?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because mindfulness can be a very important tool for people going through cancer. So John Kabat-Zinn, he's the founder of the Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction Program, which maybe many of your listeners have heard about. He started this in 1979 at the University of Massachusetts Medical School to help people dealing with chronic pain. And lo and behold, we found that it can help many, many, many people, and it does for cancer patients. And so his definition, Kim, I think I said it in the first segment, it's probably worth saying it again because it's really important.
Yes.
The definition of mindfulness is awareness that arises through paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. So that's really being with things as they are in the present moment. And, you know, worry takes up so much space in our mind, right? When we are anywhere but here, anxiety and fear can creep in. I think I spoke about that earlier. So the wonderful thing about mindfulness is it helps you get off the hamster wheel of that anxious or what-if thinking, you know, back into right here, right now. Helps us be awake to our lives as it's happening rather than lamenting what happened in the past or didn't happen or worrying about what's going to happen or could happen. So it gives us a respite from the worry. And Thich Nhat Hanh, he's a famous Buddhist monk. Maybe many people have heard of him. I love this quote. His quote is, "Life is available only in the present moment." And really, isn't that the truth? And the future is just a series of now moments. And so if we can stay in the now, then we can let go of the worry about the future a little bit.
So how does somebody practice mindfulness, Julia?
Yeah, so Kim, really the number one strategy, there are many ways to practice mindfulness, but the number one, the most easily accessible, is to focus on your breath. Our breath is accessible to us. It's at our disposal at all times. We forget about that. When you come back to your breath, it can be an anchor to steady you when that stress and anxiety hits. You know, coming back to our breath grounds us in the present moment. Again, sort of like where the future and past don't exist, right? So I like to think of this as breathing yourself into the moment. And so that's probably the number one way to practice mindfulness. And there's also a mindfulness check-in. Actually, many of my patients really, really enjoy this one. And that's really paying attention to what's happening inside of you, starting with your breath. So you're focusing on your breath, going over your body sensations, shifting to your thoughts, just noticing your thoughts, noticing your emotions, sensing your whole self. So it's a nice way to check in with yourself. And again, I use the word grounding us in the present moment. And anytime you can check in with yourself and go inside, pay attention, you're grounding in the moment of right now. And
Can you take a minute, Julia, and do a little exercise for our listeners? Is that possible?
Sure. Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. Yeah, so I would just invite people to find themselves in a comfortable position. Maybe put your feet flat on the floor. Close your eyes if you'd like. Take a nice deep breath here. Perhaps shrug your shoulders and then let them drop. And so bring yourself to the present moment by focusing on your breath, noticing the inhale and the exhale, perhaps noticing the coolness of the air coming in through your nostrils and the warmth going out. paying attention to how you're breathing. Maybe your belly is moving or your chest is rising and falling. And just letting your breath be what it is. No need to change anything. And just being with your breath. And if your mind wanders, that's okay. That's normal. And just bring your focus back to your breath. Allowing your breath to find its own natural rhythm. Recognizing that you can come here anytime. Anytime to ground you in the present moment. Where all is well. Breathing in, I am calm. Breathing out, I relax. Maybe taking another two breaths here. And then just coming back. And so that can be just a brief way to, coming back to your breath.
I mean, I think what you're showing, Julia, is this is something that's just accessible to anybody, really.
It really is. Anybody, anytime as well.
Yeah.
People think they have to sit, which is wonderful, doing a sitting meditation. So taking 10 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is. And yes, that's fantastic. But you can even do walking meditation. You can do mindfulness while you're washing the dishes, paying attention to the warm, soapy water over your hands. I have one gentleman who tells me he practices mindfulness when he's fishing. He visualizes reeling himself back into the now with a fishing pole. He says, I reel myself back into the now and my worries dissipate. So you can choose any activity you normally do and bring your full attention there, allowing it to ground you into right now. So you're really paying attention to everything that's happening.
So, Julia, what's the difference between mindfulness and meditation?
Well, that is a great question. So mindfulness is really, again, the present moment awareness. And there are other meditation techniques, including visual imagery. That is where you visualize a peaceful scene using all five senses. So you use all five senses to bring yourself to that place. So that is inviting what's called the relaxation response. And you can also do deep abdominal breathing, similar to what we were doing, but really bringing the breath fully into your belly to, again, promote what's called the relaxation response. Mindfulness is about being present with yourself no matter what's happening. You're not needing to change anything. You're not necessarily trying to create relaxation. It's a little complicated, but hopefully I can articulate it. Relaxation is often a byproduct of mindfulness. These other techniques are specifically to elicit the relaxation response, this visual imagery. Progressive muscle relaxation is another great strategy, and that's where you tense and release different muscle groups from head to toe or toe to head. I like to go head to toe. And then you find yourself, like jelly afterwards. Tai Chi is another meditation technique. Yoga is another way to meditate. That's a great question. And what I would say to people is find what works for you. Anything that can give you a respite, a space for yourself so that you're not on that sort of hamster wheel of anxiety, what if thinking, and just take a moment to go inside and be present for yourself. So again, yoga for some people, that's a great way to do it. Walking meditation, just really being aware of the sights and sounds, bringing yourself fully into the moment. So there's lots of different ways. I have a guided imagery exercise I do with my audiences when I give my talks. It's called Tapping Into Your Joy. So that's, again, a guided imagery exercise. And hopefully I'll have that up on my website at some point. I don't yet, but hopefully I will.
Nice.
So, yeah,
nice.
Lots of different, yeah.
Yeah. Julia, as we get towards the end of this segment, can you just take a step back and talk a little bit more about, sort of the process that folks go through, and particularly that step around acceptance?
Yeah.
You talked about that a little bit. Can you just expand on that for a minute?
Yeah, you know, and again, I'm going to say right at the start that acceptance is a really tough thing. So when you're when you're standing here, when you're in this place of, oh, I don't want to be here, right? And we all get to that many times. You sort of keep yourself in that, again, I use that word cancer chaos, you keep yourself in that emotional angst. So you say, oh, I don't want to be here, I want to be over there. But you can't really move forward until you accept, okay, I am here. Like the woman who said, I finally accepted I have cancer, I'm here. And then she could take the step forward. So when I talk about acceptance, I don't want to be giving the message that, you know, well, you just have to accept and, you know, all is well. It's not really like that. It is being present with what is and just acknowledging, okay, this is happening. Now, how can I wrap my head around this so I can move forward? And being here saying, yes, I am here now, can actually help you then take the next step. And that's key. And one step at a time, again, is really key. Acceptance is very, very important on the cancer journey. It's also very powerful. It can be empowering because you say, okay, I'm here. I want to be over there. I'm here now. Now I can take the next step, and then I can take the next step.
So really, so it's quite different from sort of resignation.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, yes, you're right. It kind of sounds counterintuitive, right? No, it is not resignation.
Yeah.
It is actually empowering. Because you say, okay, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Now what can I do? And again, we talked about the self-care, that loss of control that comes with cancer. Well, there are things I can do now so that the next step is easier for myself. This is where I'm standing now. I can take the next step. So
It's freeing. Yeah. Liberating. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Liberating. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy is a new initiative that was developed by Julia Wick. She's a licensed clinical mental health counselor. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. We've got more to cover on the show with Julia. We're going to take a quick break. We've got some closing questions for Julia in our final segment. I'm Kim Thibodeau. We will be right back. Don't go away.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hi, I'm Nick Nicolaides, President and CEO of Morphotech, and we're delighted to be a sponsor of Cancer Support Community's Frankly Speaking About Cancer series. Morphotech and its parent company, Eisai, are committed to human healthcare, and we recognize that patients and their families are the most important participants in the healthcare process. We salute our global advocacy partners who are devoted to improving the lives of people touched by cancer every day.
Effective cancer treatment requires more than just medication or surgery. For the country's 12 million cancer survivors and their loved ones, the social and emotional challenges of adapting to life with cancer are ongoing. How to handle coworkers' questions, how to get comfortable with new physical realities, how to reassure worried family members, or explain to friends your priorities have changed. The Cancer Support Community is ready to help by providing free counseling, education, and hope for survivors and their caregivers. Whether online or at over 100 locations around the world, the Cancer Support Community is ready to offer the support you need to live a better life with cancer. For more information on support groups, publications, nutrition, exercise programs, and more, call 1-888-793-9355 or visit us online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org. The Cancer Support Community, a global network of education and hope.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Thibodeau, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
We're back with Frankly Speaking About Cancer. Today's show is sponsored in part by Celgene Corporation, EMD Serono, and Takeda Oncology. I'm your host, Kim Thibodeau. We're closing out our show on finding joy and using mindfulness throughout the cancer experience with Julia Wick, co-creator of the Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy initiative. Julia, as we close out the show today, can you speak to the importance of self-care, as well as some tips for our listeners around self-care.
Yeah, Kim, self-care is so, so important on the cancer journey. Even though so much is out of your control, you can gain some control by making decisions and prioritizing your self-care. This helps you take the reins back. So it helps you take ownership of your experience. So then when people can take ownership of their experience, you know, they have a say in what's happening, and that can be very, very empowering. Kim, self-care also helps to build physical and emotional reserves, right? So then that helps you handle the challenges that come, feel less depleted and more fulfilled. And, you know, it's really about filling your tank, right? And you can't give from an empty vessel. It's so easy to give to others. People come in my office, they're in the middle of a cancer experience, and they're thinking about others, which is very important. And you can't give from an empty vessel. So, you know, when I give my talks, I will often ask the audience to reflect on what qualities they bring to their best friendship, and then ask them to reflect on how they can bring those qualities to themselves. So it's really important to turn your attention inward. And it's a time to pay attention to your needs. And I would say, too, pay attention to your self-talk and how you're treating yourself. Mm. You know, the Dalai Lama, he talks about love and compassion. And we need to have this for others and for ourselves. And with cancer, it's especially important to treat yourself with loving kindness. I can't say enough about that. You know, this will go a long way toward easing your journey. So self-care is vital. It's absolutely vital when going through cancer.
You know, Julia, what one of the things that I hear from our folks around the country who are running, you know, support groups and running our programs is helping folks find meaning in the cancer experience, right? There's a meaning-making,
absolutely,
you know, aspect to it, which I always find, you know, to be, you know, to be sort of fascinating. And I've been doing this for a long time. I was pretty young when I started, but I remember hearing it over and over again, a lot of folks saying that cancer was a wake-up call for them. It was a wake-up call, yep, for them. And, you know, and that, you know, that at a young age became sort of a wake-up call for me, right? That I'm going to make the right choices and maybe do things a little bit differently. But tell us a little bit about that and how folks, you know, maybe it is a wake-up call for folks, and they use it as a vehicle to maybe make different choices or maybe reprioritize their lives.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. You see it all the time. Just today, probably 2.5 hours ago even, I was talking with someone, and she had started to make changes in her family of origin, actually, in the way that she was communicating with them, and she realized, you know, we walked away from our conversation, and she said, well, I guess this is what cancer has done for me. You know, she was reflecting on the changes that she had made in her life, and this happens a lot. It is true that it can really shift your priorities and help you really tune into just that, just what you said, just what is most meaningful. And, you know, it's really about, okay, how do I want my life to be moving forward? What can I take from this experience so that I can make good decisions for myself, that I can make, you know, choices that feel good, that feel empowering, so that I can do what I want to do with my life, so that I can find more joy. It really is can be a life-changing event for people. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Julia, I don't want to end the show without reminding people about where they can find out about the Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy initiative and any other advice you have for where folks can find resources to really get on this path.
Yeah, so thanks for asking so much. We have a website, Kim, and it's don'tletcancer.com. No apostrophe, just don'tletcancer.com. And people can go to our website and sign up for our newsletter. People could also email us, and we would be delighted to get emails from folks. Our email address is hello@don'tletcancer.com. We'd love to hear from people. Maybe people would like to share their stories. We may highlight it in an upcoming blog. We'd love to hear from people. And thanks for asking that question. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other tips, Julia, where people can go to find resources or get support? I know that a lot of, for example, in a lot of the hospitals, they have social workers, support programs, counselors.
Absolutely.
Other tips?
Yeah, so, you know, I do want to say, too, check with your clinic. And this is also, I didn't get a chance to say this, I want to make sure listeners know that, you know, if depression or anxiety is getting in the way, you can seek professional help through a counselor such as myself or even a psychiatrist that can prescribe medication that could help. People often benefit from that. You know, we know that 29 to 43% of people with a cancer diagnosis experience significant psychological distress. So if that is any of your listeners, you are not alone. And so that can be really helpful. And, you know, yes, there are always social workers in your clinic, and they can help you find resources. The social workers are awesome in terms of helping cancer patients connect with resources in their community. There are a lot of resources in their community, and there may even be mindfulness meditation classes that are offered in the hospitals, in the clinic, or in the surrounding community. So don't hesitate to ask. Ask. The people are there to help. The social workers are fantastic. Put in a plug for them. They're great.
Julia, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show today. Julia Wick, co-creator of the Don't Let Cancer Steal Your Joy initiative. We have just loved talking to you and hearing about the wonderful program and really getting some good tips and advice for our listeners. I want to thank folks for joining us today on Frankly Speaking About Cancer. I'm your host, Kim Thibodeau. I'm the CEO of the Cancer Support Community. And just to continue with what Julia is saying, at the Cancer Support Community, we do provide a multitude of in-person, online, and over-the-phone support services. If you or someone you know is faced with a cancer diagnosis, you do not have to face cancer alone. We are here for you. In fact, we have 47 centers around the country where you can walk through those doors, and all of our services are free of charge. We have support groups, educational programs, nutrition, exercise, and a lot of the kinds of programs that Julia is talking about. We do have mindfulness programs, meditation, relaxation and visualization, guided imagery. These programs are free of charge for anyone with any kind of cancer, and also for the family members and loved ones of those facing cancer. We didn't even get to that, Julia, but so many of the family members and loved ones obviously are also facing a significant amount of distress and anxiety, and our programs are also available for the family members and loved ones. So I would encourage folks to also visit our website at cancersupportcommunity.org to find a location. You can also call our helpline and talk to one of our counselors today if you want to grab a pen. That number is 888-793-9355. Again, that's 888-793-9355. You can also join the Cancer Support Community in many ways. You can become an advocate by joining our grassroots advocacy network at cscadvocate.org, or you can share your own cancer experience by joining our Cancer Experience Registry, and that's at cancerexperienceregistry.org. I want to thank you again for listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer today. I'm Kim Thibodeau. Until next time, be well, do well, live well.
Thank you for joining us for Frankly Speaking About Cancer with your host, Kim Thibodeau. We're here for you every Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. In the meantime, stay connected online at cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org.